The Cap and Jay Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
That's why I say amen, I
shot, no shot, with Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say amen, I shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Good morning, Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. If you watch the show every day on Twitch, you should tell others. Let people know. We're talking about the Bears and their win against the Patriots, 33-14. Jump in with us, 312-332-3776. And every day at this time, we give you Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by
PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download the PointsBet app, get the lightning bets, the same game, live in-game parlays. You're going to have a whole lot of fun. If you want to play the ponies, well, that would be the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. We hand it off now to our friend, the only one on the show who had the guts and the foresight to pick the Bears. That would be Snorling.
Good morning, boys. How are we doing?
Just hang on a second, okay? Just hang on a second. Did you not say that the Bears would, that the line was 8, right? And you said you'd take the Bears. You'd say you take the Bears. And from a gambling standpoint, did you not?
Correct.
Okay. Let's just hey, Cap, if you're going to host a show, listen to it. He did not have the Bears to win the game.
Well, he took the points.
Okay, that's not winning the game. That's
nobody
not,
else took the points, though. The point still fine. Stands. Okay, everybody now, else that, took the
actually,
Patriots.
Actually, the point does not stand. It does not, because you're patting. Don't pat yourself on the back and break your arm in doing so. You did not have the Bears outright winning the game. We're talking about the majority of people out there when you say, who do you like to win the game? The Bears or the Patriots? Well, I like the Patriots, but I believe that the Bears are going to keep it close. That's what happened. So as you take your victory lap.
I didn't say that. I said, we'll play the audio because I didn't say I like the Patriots ever. Yeah. I said they're not that good. That was my quote verbatim.
You did say that, but you didn't take the Bears to win the game. Did you not? Is that true?
I didn't take any team to win the game. All I said was, I'm betting Bears +8.5, and I like the Bears.
I'm the only one on the show that liked the Bears.
It's true.
But you like the Bears, but not to win the game. Okay, so if you're going to put that on social media and on the radio telling everybody that you like the Bears, let's make sure you say, hey, you know what? I clicked Bears because I thought the Bears would keep it close. When we talk about...
What's the difference?
It's a big difference.
I'm the only one that played the audio. Charlie, play the audio for
me. Hold on a second. You ask me a question, I'll give you the answer. The answer is that whether it's on SportsCenter, whether it's online, when someone says, did someone win or did someone lose, it's about the win and the loss. That's what it's about. You like the Bears because you thought the Bears would keep it close. That's the victory lap that you take. Not that, oh, I knew the Bears were going to beat the Patriots. You didn't give us that. So this business.
I also didn't take that victory lap. All we said was I was the only person on the show who picked the Bears. I am the only person on the show that picked the Bears. That's a fact.
To keep the game close, not to win the game.
Who cares? If the point stands.
Well, you're asking who cares. I care because I'm the one talking about it.
Can we get to Shot or No Shot, please?
So I'm just telling you that don't take the victory lap as if I knew the Bears were going to beat the Patriots' ass.
All right, let's go.
Right?
If you're enjoying this argument, by the way, you can always watch it on Twitch today and every day. Brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
Who cares? I'm the one saying it. I care.
I just don't understand the point at all. Let's get to Shot or No Shot.
You don't know the difference between someone winning or losing the game away from gambling? I mean, that's all. That's been tried and true.
But we didn't pick that. We picked the Bears against the spread.
Get to the questions already. Let's go.
That's as old as the hills.
Let's go. People wait for this. Let's go.
I agree.
You two can fight at the break.
Can I read the question, Kaplan? Shortly before the kickoff on Monday Night Football, Ryan Poles had an impromptu press conference in the Patriots press box where he claimed the Bears needed to learn to finish, but he felt that they were, quote, on the doorstep. So my question, Shot or No Shot, the Bears crossed the threshold of that door last night.
I mean, it's one game. I can't go there. I can't coach on it. It was an awesome game. But you got to string together a few of these performances against quality opponents, and then we could go, wow, they have actually made progress.
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah, I can't co-sign that yet. Great night, yes. Beyond that, we got to see.
I'll say no shot for now because it's a long season. Right, is that fair? I'd say no shot for now.
Fair.
And then we'll see what happens moving forward. I know one thing, most complete game I've seen from the Bears. Yeah. I didn't have them to win, neither on the money line either.
Shit.
All right, Matt Eberflus took the Bears back to the scene of the crime. The Bears returned to New England for the first time in 8 years. It's, of course, the site of a franchise-altering loss under Mark Trestman, where they allowed 52 points to Tom Brady and the Patriots. Matt Eberflus, the story was different. He delivered a wildly impressive win over New England. So while it was the beginning of the end for Trestman, shot or no shot, that was the beginning of the beginning for Eberflus.
That is a shot for me. Sure. That's a good starting point. Well, first of all, in this wacky NFL, the Bears are 3-4. You have, like, maybe, what, two more wins left for you to get to your 5 wins that you predicted?
Yeah, I mean, I hope they win 9 more.
Well,
what are they, 3-4, 7?
Don't get out of draft.
They got 10 games.
Don't get out of draft status now. Hold on. Hold on a second.
Might need a high pick.
Hang on.
But again, Matt Nagy was the coach of the year in 2018, and we couldn't wait to run his ass out of town.
Yeah.
Let's settle down. That's one win.
I would say
good win.
I would say shot to Shay's question, though. I mean, look.
Be a great jumping off point.
I would say so. I would say so. Because of who you beat. It's not just a win, Cap. It's a win on Monday Night Football against the Patriots. The guy that schemes the most, the guy that is the most learned, I would say, coach we have in the NFL today, in our lifetime. All right? You weren't around for Halas. You were too young to remember Halas.
I am.
You were a child.
I was a child.
Yeah, but I mean, this is the top of the top right here, right?
It was awesome. It was a great night. Let's just enjoy it for what it was. Amazingly cool win.
All right, Shay.
All right, a lot of praise will be thrown onto Justin Fields for his performance. We'll get to that in a moment. It's deserved. But I want to talk about the unsung hero of the game, who might be Cairo Santos. He was 4-for-4 on the night kicking field goals. It sends him to 11-for-11 on the season. He has not missed a single kick, extra point or otherwise, since the monsoon to open the year against San Francisco. So shot or no shot, the Bears have the best kicker in the league.
Yeah, that's a no shot. His name's Justin Tucker. Justin Tucker is the best kicker in the history of the sport.
Is it the history of the sport?
Yes.
Is it? Yep.
He's amazing.
I know he's one of the best that
I've
seen.
But I love Cairo, and I'm glad he's our kicker. He does a really good job.
Stepped away from for a week for personal reasons, and he's like really inspired now. Like, it's almost, Shay, it's very rare in the NFL that you can find a kicker who's like, you know what, wherever it is, I expect him to make the kick. I mean, of course, you always expect that when you have a team, a rooting interest. But when I see Santos out there, I feel like wherever it is, he's going to make the kick. And it's just like there's a confidence there. And by the way, when the Bears really need points, you want your special teams to come through. And with Santos, not the best, but definitely right up there. He's different. I mean, he is, to me, automatic when I see him up there now. But Justin, for distance, yeah. What, do you have a long of 62, 161? Something like that.
He holds the record. Last year, he hit from 66, I think, in Detroit to win a game.
Yeah, he's a monster, man. Yeah, he did win the game on that one. I remember Dan Campbell just about collapsed when he hit a 65 or whatever.
What are you going
to
do?
To win.
What are you going to do, right?
Guy makes a 65-yarder, you just go, I'm bowing to you. That was amazing.
I say he's the most impressive kicker since Dempsey, Tom Dempsey. And he had a club foot.
He did. He had a little boot.
How come we don't get any barefoot?
And one hand.
We don't get barefoot kickers anymore.
Tony Franklin.
How come we don't get that anymore? I mean, have kickers gotten smarter? It's like, you know what? I can still kick this on it with a cleat. I don't need to
put a shoe on here. This hurts.
There was a time, Shay, if you go back in those archives, no sock, just a barefoot, and then kicking the football 50-plus yards.
The kicker in the Super Bowl for the Patriots, Tony Franklin. I think how I know this, I don't know, because I'm an idiot. He, I think, went to Texas A&M, got drafted by the Patriots, and had to kick in the snow with a bare foot.
God, that's amazing. No broken toes, though.
That sounds awful. I mean, you put your foot down in the freezing snow, and then you kick a football. And those, the kicking footballs, are more inflated than the regular ones. So have fun with that.
I think he kicked for the Eagles, too.
Believe that's correct. I would say, imagine this happening, Charlie, in 2022, where you have a barefoot kicker. I mean, that person's going viral. Because this is not happening in college or pro. Find that barefoot kicker today, especially in inclement weather. That person would go viral.
Well, and it would be one of those things too, where you'd see it on Bleacher Report as like a high schooler. Like that's I can't imagine somebody going their whole life with a cleat on and then being like, you know what, I'm going to do this barefoot now.
It's almost showing up then, right? In that scenario.
Yeah, Tony Franklin is now 65 years of age. He was drafted in the third round as a kicker. Kicked for Philly, New England, and Miami. Second team All-Pro the year they went to the year after the Super Bowl. NFL scoring leader, All-Decade Team Patriots. Yes, no shoe, no sock.
Shay.
All right, the Bears finally ran an offensive scheme that highlighted Justin Fields' strengths. They allowed him to operate with a moving pocket, a personal protector, and an onslaught of designed quarterback runs. He had as many quarterback runs last night as he had through the entire 6 weeks leading up to that game. The result, he threw for 179 yards on just 13 completions. He had 82 rushing yards and 2 total touchdowns. So if Luke Getsy and the Bears continue to put Fields in advantageous situations, shot or no shot, they might actually have the best quarterback situation in the division.
Best quarterback.
Well, wow. There's Goff.
Man.
There's Rodgers.
Yep.
Okay.
There's Cousins.
There's Cousins. Fields. Well, if not this year, this is what I've been hearing over the last 12 hours. Man, if the Bears find some talent around Fields, look out. Look out, NFC North.
Yeah, I would have to say that's a definite shot.
Is it?
If they can protect this kid, go get a little help in the receiving core, yes, it's a shot. Absolute shot.
Shay, what do you think?
Well, I'm not a Kirk Cousins fan. Goff will not be the quarterback of the Lions next season.
Man.
And Rodgers, how are you going to make that better? He hates the team. He hates his family. He doesn't seem like he's really happy with what's going on with his head coach. Yeah, I think if the Bears continue to run an offense that plays to field strength, you might have the best quarterback situation in the division.
Did you add his brother Jordan to that analysis? Is that what you just did? Hates his family? Is that what you just
he
did?
He does. Am I saying something wrong?
Did you say that?
What did I do? What did I see?
He was winning games without Jordan around. I think you just threw his family in that analysis.
He does. Yeah. He doesn't invite him to the games. What are you going to do?
That's pretty
it's
funny.
Not my fault that he hates his family. It's just it is what it is.
How about that, Cap? He adds he hates his family to the woefulness of the Packers.
I heard that. Didn't we hear that he's trying to reconcile and get the family back together? Yeah, I think he is.
Well, when you just go host Jeopardy instead of play football, it's probably a little easier to have family time.
Oh!
Wow. Blue of Earth might have something to say about that.
I'm going to say shot to that. Because that's, I don't know if you've heard the same things, but just like, you know, based on what feels, I guess it opened up. And I know that for Aikman on TV, he's looking at it just like, hey, you know what? What if with Justin Fields? If it looks like this, imagine this with talent.
Correct. Go get a couple more linemen, some receivers. Yeah. Oh.
Now it looks better.
Looks a lot better.
All right, we will get back to your phone calls coming up. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Still to come, Albert Breer, he was locked in on the couch watching the Bears and the Patriots. We'll get his thoughts at 8:35. But your reaction to the Bears beating down the Patriots 33-14. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
They played two god-awful teams. I really think they're overrated coming into this. Browns defense is awful. Lions defense is awful, and their head coach doesn't know what he's doing.
See, I'm sorry. Your analysis doesn't count in this show when it comes to the Patriots. You're out. Sorry,
yeah.
Shay.
Yeah, you're gone.
You're out.
I'm a fan. I'm lowballing them.
Exactly. Exactly. You're out. There by Charlie, as we're glad that you're with us here on Cap and Jay Hood. I can't even hold it now. I was trying to do it a straight
face.
Come
on, man.
Charlie, the only one on the show that had the Bears outright win the ball game, and we appreciate you, Charlie, for what we just heard there. Huh? That was Charlie, right?
No, it was Jay.
Outstanding work by Charlie there. Here on Cap and Jay Hood, here on ESPN 1000.
Wow. Hey, can I give you some grades real quick?
So I
subscribe to PFF, Pro Football Focus.
As do I. I don't understand it.
I don't either, but I pay for it. For all you haters of Sam Mustipha out there.
Oh, man.
And
here we go.
When we reported the other day, yeah, they're making a change. Musty to the bench, Patrick to center, Schofield the left guard. Thank God! Okay. Run block grades from last night. Number one, Tevin Jenkins, 85.1 in run blocking. Number two, Sam Mustipha, 81.0. Pass blocking, not even close. Number one pass block, Sam Mustipha.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Mustipha was their highest graded offensive lineman last night. How about that?
Yeah, blind squirrel gets a nut every now and then.
Guess what? He did his job.
Yep.
So,
how about this? Caller 5, Shay, regular line, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. You will get a gift card to Lou Malnati, our way of saying thanks for listening to Cap and Jay Hood. Lou Malnati, oh, delicious. Talk about the salad. You talk about the pizza. You talk about the wings. It's all there at Lou Malnati's.
You had a little George McCaskey twang when you said that. Just a little, sounded a little George-like.
A lot of characters in this body. Who knows?
You never know.
You never know what you're going to get every morning. But it was so a little Lou Malnati's. So, again, caller 5, regular line, 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Still to come, we'll hear from Justin Fields. Had some more things to say about the Bears. Also, Bill Belichick with his thoughts about the Bears as well. There he is in Farmington, Minnesota, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Here's Curtis on ESPN 1000. Hi, Curtis.
Hey. Cap and Hoodie.
Pop, 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 pop.
What's up, man? What's up?
I'm the only one
What's
locked
up,
in.
Fellas?
Only one locked in. Go ahead, Curtis.
What's going on?
I'd like to give a shout-out to the Monday Night Countdown crew who just laughed at their little poll saying that the 60% saying that the Bears was going to win. They just thought it was so funny. And then the Bears just smoked that ass like a pack of cool cigarettes. So take that to Monday Night Countdown. That's a highly expected, unexpected win for the Bears. So I thought that was so funny.
Yeah, it was unblit. And again, full disclosure, I didn't think they'd win. Hoodie didn't think they'd win. I don't think anyone in the newspapers picked them to win. Nobody was.
They give you a reason to think that they would win. I mean, when you make a pick, you can look at it two ways. You could just say, roll the dice, it's the NFL. Anybody can beat anyone anytime. That's pretty clear, outside of a few teams. Or you can look at it with reality and say, when are the Bears going to get themselves off the mat and do something to hit somebody in the mouth?
Agreed.
I mean, that's and they actually did it against the Patriots, which I'm overjoyed by. This is a lot better than the slog of games that we've had to cover the last few games. They broke their losing streak. Let's see if they can continue their momentum. We'll continue to talk about this game with James and Gurney on ESPN 1000. Good morning, James.
Jimmy!
Good morning, fellas. What do you think, man? I'm actually tired. I had to stay up and watch the after show, man. Nice job, Cap. A good job in the show.
Appreciate it.
I want to tip my cap to Schofield and Jenkins. They played really well. Mustipha might have been rated good, but they're pinching really well. And Fitzpatrick was getting blown off the ball. But having said that, I'm going to agree with Poles a little bit, man. And real quick, Sheffy was running his mouth, man. Take that, Sheffy. Just stick to the news. He was yapping his mouth. I know none of us expected him to win, but that was pretty funny just to back that last caller. This is what – you have to learn how to win, boys. And it's almost like they were on the brink. And all them mistakes, it was just – Justin was – it was special last night. He still held the ball a couple of times. When he makes that decision, you can still see that he's learning. But that kid is special, man. Wow. That kid was really special last night. The defense played good and – and it was just I'm from New England, so I had a bunch of family members that went to the game. And on the Facebook post, all I did in capital letters was put "shh," not one response. not one response. I didn't run my mouth because I can't yet. It's the Bears. No one expected this, so I'm a believer, and I have no right to run my mouth over the last few years, especially even the Packers fans. But that was special, man. That kid is special. The offensive line, Borum had a tough night. That's okay. I mean, these two young defensive backs that we got, Brisker and
Gordon.
But still, Schofield and I'll tell you right now, Tevin Jenkins has an edge to him, boy. That kid he's got an edge to him, man. Keep your eye on him. He is good. I love you guys.
That's appreciate
a big win
you.
And, they better get some rest on the offensive line because they got number 11 coming out next week, and that kid is a freak. So let's go.
Yeah, Micah Parsons is a beast. A beast. By the way, Velus Jones acted blessed.
Here we go.
Can't get him out on punt returns.
He was that.
He had 13 snaps, 0 targets, 0 catches, 0 yards.
Well, I was wrong. I
thought he was going to transform the offense.
Well, listen, Cap, I'll hold out hope here because I said I'll just wait. Because all we heard before the season starts is that Velus Jones is the fastest man in Tennessee. He's now with the Bears. He's going to make a difference. Well, if it's not in the receiving game, if it's not in special teams, then how will he make a difference? When will he make a difference?
I don't know. If he had gone back there to return punts and fumbled again, that would be on the coach, not on the kid.
Well, you get into the Smith-Marset area with that if he fumbles again?
I don't think you're cutting a guy who you drafted in the third round.
You would.
Probably.
Yeah, you would. Because, hey, all this is evaluation, right? Even Buck and Aikman, they understood what's going on here. All this is evaluation. When we get good, who's going to come with us?
Correct. Remember what Ditka told the team when he took over? First meeting. Mm-hmm. Got great news. We're going to win the Super Bowl. Got bad news. More than half of you ain't going to be there.
It's fair to say, right?
Good luck.
In Davenport, Iowa, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Here's Austin on ESPN 1000. Austin.
Hey, what's up, guys? How fun was that as a Chicago sports fan to just sit back and watch that whole thing unfold? You got to give credit to Matt Eberflus and his staff for taking that time that they had that mini buy on and improving their football team with what they had. That was an impressive from start to finish, how they reacted being down 2 touchdowns. Or wait, it was 14-10, and it was 17-14 after those 2 touchdowns by the Patriots. Let's enjoy this one, baby. Love your show. Love you guys. Have a great day, y'all.
Day. I love the bounce in his step.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
You know what? Because he's happy, and you should be happy. Because it wasn't just a win. It was a terrific all-around team win, Cap. Something this Bears team needed. So I'm happy about that. Austin, we're glad you checked in. Appreciate your phone call. It's 2:26 in London, in the UK. This is where Matt is on ESPN 1000. Hello, bruv.
Good afternoon to the London crew, and good morning to Chicago.
Good morning to you.
Well, I stayed up until 4:30 this morning, and let's just say I'm over the moon, and I don't care if I'm tired, I'm feeling good. Fields is a beast. And when I say beast, I mean his toughness is unbelievable. There's not many quarterbacks that can take the beatings that he does. And I think he's learning all the time. It's nice to see us actually have a bit of a plan. You know, and he's obviously played to his strengths. And I'm over the moon. And thank you so much, guys. I love you. Peace and love. Get up, house!
Thank you. Thank you, bruv. We appreciate the phone
call. Matt in London.
So we got our guys, Berlissimo. We've got Matt. We have a number of people in the UK.
Yeah.
And think about watching these games in the middle of the night out there. Now, it's 2:28 in the afternoon now. But, man, that's when you're a diehard, man. You know you got to get up the next morning. But in the middle of the night, I'm going to watch the Bears. Isn't that something?
Yeah, and I love it. You know that in one flat, there's Berlissimo, there's Matt, our guy. Yes, I think that's awesome, man.
Just shows you the reach. It all started with 85.
It did?
It all started with that, didn't it? I mean, it started with Ditka, and it became not just a national phenomenon, but an international phenomenon. For an NFL that's really just, you know, North American and then some games in London, ultimately, Cap, that became an international story. The Super Bowl shuffle, the Ditka personality, Peyton, Fridge, all of this. And now you got young Bears fans like our bruv here, Matt, and then Berlissimo and some of the other callers we have from the UK. It's like, you know what? I'm down with the Bears. And they're on social media hitting us up all the time. It's pretty cool.
You know, China is huge with the Bulls because of the Jordan run. 30 years later, it's still carrying over.
Isn't that something?
It's crazy.
Still selling jerseys, still selling the merchandise, all of that. It's still hot.
Because
of this city. World-class city, Chicago, Illinois.
Correct.
Awesome.
Now let's demand more of our teams.
No question. Here's looking at you, Clark and Addison.
All of them.
35th and Vec.
All of them. All of them.
Mike in Orland Park won the Lou Malnati's gift card. Congratulations, Mike.
Enjoy,
you're going to
Mike.
Have a great time at Lou Malnati's.
Enjoy.
Delicious. Coming up, Albert Breer, his thoughts about the Bears and the Patriots, and more of your phone calls coming up. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. In half hour, the great Alex Brown will join us. All part of the mix on a Bears Victory Tuesday on Cap and J-Hood.
Cap J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and J-Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's home for sports.
But Bert is it.
It's the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Every Tuesday at 8:30, we get a chance to talk to Albert Breer, the senior NFL reporter and part of Monday Morning Quarterback. After having his Asian noodles last night and a nice cold beverage, he was able to settle in and watch the Bears and the Patriots. Albert joins us here on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Albert.
They were good, and I cooked them myself, actually, believe it or not. I'm a terrible cook, but, you know, we get HelloFresh, I can follow directions okay. I'll put it that way.
Well, that's good.
All right, let's talk about what we watched last night, because we all mocked Belichick all last week when he gave a 7-plus minute, 1,003-word answer, longest of his career.
This Bears team, they got a good offensive line, and the coach, he couldn't even remember his name. And everyone went, yeah, whatever. And the Bears beat the living H out of them. What did we watch?
I'm still like a little bewildered by everything from last night. You know, from the way the Bears just looked like a totally different team, the speed with which it looked like those guys were playing, like hair on fire type of speed, you know, and then the Patriots bungling of the quarterback situation, you know, and then the progress Justin made. Like, I think, like, without question, Justin was the best quarterback on the field last night, you know, so there are a lot of surprises, I think, you know, last night. And I think, you know, it's a good win for the Bears to build on, in that, you know, I think you're starting to see some of the things that Matt Eberflus and Luke Getsy and all those guys are doing working. And I think maybe the most encouraging thing is you're starting to see adjustment and progress from young players. You know, you see, obviously, Jaquan Brisker, the way he's playing, and I think he looks like he can be a star for you going forward. And he's a guy we knew about in camp, you know, so it's a guy they ID'd early and a guy that, you know, has sort of given you something to build on. Kyler Gordon making play in the secondary there, you know, and then, you know, with Fields, I think the coach is showing the, I would say, flexibility to change the plan as they go on. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't watched every snap, but I don't think we saw a whole lot in the way of designed runs for Justin Fields early in the year. We saw more of that last night, and I think you're sort of seeing how Justin's athleticism can really work to compromise the defense and make things easier on everybody.
I believe I told Hoodie, I think I got this right, 12 design runs his first 18 games of his career, and he had 12 last night. It's something like yeah. that. It's close.
Yeah, and I mean, will this be who Justin will be for the rest of his career? And is that just, I mean, it's tough, you know, if you're asking a guy to run that much. But we've seen other teams do it, you know, and I think effectively what it does for you and your young quarterback is it buys him time to develop. You know, I don't want to compare him one for one with Lamar, because Lamar is so much different. But you see the way that Lamar has developed as a passer, and there's no way Lamar develops as a passer, has a time to develop as a passer, unless the Ravens are doing creative things to buy him that time. Like, if they went out and tried to play him as, like, a drop-back passer from day one, he'd be off the team by now. You know what I mean? But they did they bent to do things that he does well, and in turn, that bought him time to develop as a passer. And now Lamar Jackson's a pretty damn good passer. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that that's what it can do for you. Is, you know, I think it buys the young quarterback time to develop, and I think it can work that way for Justin. And I think it gives you a chance to see if all of those pieces that Justin has, from his intelligence to his athleticism to his toughness to his arm strength to some of the natural accuracy he has when everything's right around him, it gives you a better chance, I think, to see if he can bring all those things together and develop into the type of passer that a lot of people thought he could be coming out of Ohio State.
So, Albert, can you confirm something for us regarding Bill Belichick and him, the use of Mac Jones and Bailey Zappe? Because I just thought that it's one of the rare times where I thought that Belichick was unsure of what he wanted to do. I mean, the pressure of people in Foxborough just chanting Zappe all of a sudden after three series, Jones is out and Zappe's in. What was the game plan coming in? Because, Cap, we talked about it earlier, the players didn't know when Zappe was coming in or if he was even going to play, right?
Yeah, one of the guards said that.
I mean, the whole thing was bizarre. And I think, you know, from Bill getting it out there before the game that they were going to do this so it wouldn't look like a benching, to pulling him when they did. And I think that that's a little nuance there that not enough people are paying attention to. Like, if you don't want to screw with the kid's confidence, maybe make it so his last throw isn't an interception. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's one of those things, guys, where, you know, maybe it was planned, but if it walks like a duck and it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, then it's a duck. You know what I mean? Like, that... If we didn't have what Bill had said to ESPN before the game and what Bill said in the press conference afterwards, what will we all be saying this morning? Mac Jones got benched, right?
Yes, absolutely.
No doubt.
Yeah.
I mean that had all the markings of a benching. From Bill not saying anything during the week about who his quarterback was going to be to Bill turning down several chances to declare Mac Jones the starter to them getting out there and going 3-and-out twice in a row and then throwing the interception, you know, and then Mac coming off the field then and not going back in. If you take all the chatter around it away, like, that's a benching, right? Like, that is a textbook benching. And, you know, I think that this is a murky spot for the Patriots to be in right now. I just know this, like, Bill sort of march to the beat of his own drummer forever. And he doesn't do things in a conventional way, but sometimes conventional wisdom is conventional for a reason, if that makes sense.
Okay, so let's talk about what's sustainable for the Bears going forward, because going into the game, I didn't pick them. Johnny didn't pick them. Most of the nation.
I don't think anybody picked them, guys. I mean, I got to tell you, like, the freezing cold takes guy tried to light the ESPN crew on fire because everyone picked the Patriots, right? Like, I don't know if you guys saw it anywhere. I didn't see one person pick the Bears.
88% of the tickets in Vegas at DraftKings were on the Patriots.
Shay Norley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just completely out of nowhere.
What is sustainable? They got to go to Dallas here now in a short week. And, you know, as much as we loved last night, his name is Micah Parsons. I mean,
yeah.
Holy bleep.
Right. So, you know, I think what you're going to see against Dallas, this is, you know, my guess on it, would be the Bears trying to build on the run game stuff that they did last night. And being able to run the ball the way they did against the Patriots. And, you know, like, to me, maybe the most encouraging thing about it, guys, was the way that at the end of the game, when they needed to punch it in to put the Patriots away, and not the last drive because that was a throwaway, but, like, you know, like the drive before that where they get into the red zone and the Patriots know they're running, they were able to run it. Like, to me, like, that's a real sign of toughness. You know what I mean? Like, when you can run the ball and the other team knows it's coming and you can still punch it in. And I think it was Montgomery who scored the touchdown, right? Like, at the very end.
Yes.
You know, like the way I think he scored standing up. And to be able to do that, I think there's something to build on there. You know, and so what's the best way to slow down a great pass rush and what the Cowboys are going to bring with DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons and slow down the coaching staff, too, with all their creativity and what they do with Parsons?
Fine.
Best way to do it is to run the ball, you know, and to stay out of long yardage situations. And so, like, I think that's the first thing. And Justin can be part of the running game, and I think that helps you with Justin as a passer if you're able to play him off of play action more. So, you know, I think that's the first thing that also will cover up a lot of your deficiencies in pass protection, which have been obvious over the course of the year. You know, and then I just think, like, you saw to me, last night, a lot of it, like, you've got, like, a lot of, like, guys on that defense who is not a great defense anymore, but like there are a lot of like proud like veteran players on that defense, you know, like your Eddie Jacksons, your Oquan Smiths, your Robert Quinns, who have been part of really good defenses. And, you know, I think, you know, you mix that with some of the younger guys and now maybe you have a little bit of a formula, you know, like where you can create mistakes from offenses on your defense with your defense, and then you can kind of shorten the game, run the ball, and use the running game to get Justin going. To me, like that looks like it's the formula that they found last night, and I think it can at least make you competitive the rest of the year. I still don't think the Bears are better than, you know, maybe a 6-win team, but, you know, I do think that they found a formula last night that can at least make them competitive the rest of the year and cover up some of the deficiencies they have, primarily along that offensive line.
A further look into the Bears matchup against the Dallas Cowboys, plus the average feeling of the National Football League, and what's in the phone of Albert Breer, our guest, on Cap and Jay Hood. That's next.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and Jay Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah. And listen to Cap and Jay Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback on SI.com is with us every Tuesday on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We talk about this all the time, Albert, regarding the Bears. Like, when the Bears become good, whenever that's going to be, you got to have pillars on the team. If Justin's one of them, can you identify on this team with it could be the like the next generation of Bears?
I would say Darnell Mooney, somebody who's going to be around, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I've always liked white hair, but he's a little older now, right? Like, how old is he?
Hold on, I'll tell you right now. Cody Whitehair, and he's got to come back from injury, but he is expected to make it back this season. Albert, Cody Whitehair is 30, just turned 30 in July.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God! That means I'm old.
You are.
Is Cole Kmet also 30? Because that was the next name I was going to give you.
No, but a hell of a blocking tight end though. That was on the cards though, Albert. He was not supposed to be just solely a blocking tight end. He's supposed to have some hands too.
Chops. Yeah, Cole Kmet is 23.
Okay, so I think like Kmet has a chance to develop into a really, really nice player. And one of the things that you got to remember, tight ends sometimes take a little bit more time just because it's such a complex position. And you can actually see it like the Eagles tight ends over the years, right? Like it took Zach Ertz a little while to become Zach Ertz. It took Dallas Goedert a little while to become Dallas Goedert. So, you know, I think Kmet and Mooney and Fields give you a nice kind of base on offense. You've obviously got to rebuild the offensive line, and that's going to be a tall task. You know, and then on defense, you know, like the two kids in the secondary now, I know Gordon's been up and down, but they like him a lot. And Brisker looks like he's going to be a star. So I think you've got some pieces there. You got to decide what you're going to do on Roquan Smith, and obviously that's going to be a huge decision coming down the line. And he looked pretty good to me last night, guys. You know, mm-hmm. So I think with Smith, the question's a little complicated by his fit in Matt Eberflus's defense, because he's a really, really good player. But if you look at Flus's history, you know, in Dallas and then, you know, also in Indianapolis, he's typically wanted longer linebackers, guys who, you know, have the length to get passing lanes and shrink the field. And so, you know, the question is, can he be like, you know, I guess sort of like what Sean Lee was for him in Dallas? And I think there might be a place for him there. So I think you've got a few players there that, like, when they get this right, would still be a part of the plan. Yeah, but obviously they've still got a ton of work to do.
Okay, so two-part question. One, you've got the trade deadline November the 1st. I saw James Robinson traded to the Jets yesterday from Jacksonville because they lost Breece Hall, and they're in the race. They're 5-2. Do you expect Chicago to be active in the trade market besides maybe Robert Quinn?
Yeah, and I had them earmarked as a seller. Now they're 3-4, and the conference isn't really good. And, you know, I think that this is kind of one of those, this is like you're walking a fine line to me, you know, because now you're starting to see, like, you know, what Eberflus is building, you know, starting to take a little bit, and how hard the team's playing and how some of the things they're doing. It does feel like some of those things are starting to work. They've been competitive. You know, I think that's the one thing you can hang your hat on, right? Like, over the course of the year, it hasn't been perfect. It hasn't been pretty at times, but they have been. They have played tough, competitive ball. And so, you know, I think you have to be a little concerned if you do start selling off parts for draft picks and you need draft picks. What sort of message does that send to the locker room? So I think they're going to take that into account. My guess would be, they're going to be cognizant of that, and they aren't going to go like wholesale fire sale. So my guess would be Robert Quinn would like to go to a contender and finish out the year somewhere else. And that's what's going to make, I think, the next few days interesting. Does he actually ask for a trade after the way that they played on Monday night? Because I think he might have been of a mind to do that if it didn't play out the way that it did last night. But other than that, I don't think that you're going to see like any sort of like bigger scale fire sale happening there.
Albert, tell us what's in your phone, something that you haven't told anyone else yet, like Nathaniel Hackett's going to be the next coach to be fired, stuff like that. Give us something like
that.
Yeah,
I mean, I will, you know, what's interesting about that is just, as an aside, and I do have something else for you guys, like, I think it's going to be interesting to watch how willing teams are to eat money on coaching contracts. You know, there's a lot of talk about Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M over the weekend. He's got that outrageous buyout. I think it's $85 million, right?
Yeah, like, 85.8.
So, right. So, like, I think one of the things to take into account in the sport in general right now is the amount of television money there is and whether or not there's a willingness from teams to eat money on contracts could come into play. You know, with Nathaniel Hackett in Denver could come into play, with Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona, maybe Brandon Staley with the Chargers, where
Sean Payton.
You know, there's a Sean Payton out there, you know, I've heard Sean Payton connected to the Chargers, and I've heard him connected to the Cardinals, and, you know, would a team eat its current coach's contract on the premise that it's going to cost $20 or $25 million to get Sean Payton anyway? What I would say is in my phone right now, Hoodie, is I think it's going to be interesting. You know, I don't know how many sellers there are right there because there's so much mediocrity across the NFL. I watched the Indianapolis Colts over the next week. The fact that they turned to Sam Ellinger when they did, the fact that the owner was involved, there are at least some other people around the NFL that have their radar up for, is this the owner pushing for them to sort of maybe bottom out a little bit and do everything that they can to try to be in the Derby to get a quarterback in the draft next year and solve this thing once and for all, you know? And so they've got some interesting players on their roster that are towards the end of their rookie deals. They paid some of their guys, you know, but you've got guys like, you know, like a Bobby Okereke who are towards the end of their rookie deals. It'd be interesting to see if any of those guys are available. I do think the Colts are going to get calls on some of those guys. And I think the Colts, because of that quarterback move yesterday, become a very interesting team to watch over the next few weeks.
Albert, have a great week, man. And tell all those people in Boston it was a rough night for that city. We beat their ass on two fronts.
Yeah, well, I got no skin in that game, so congratulations, guys.
Have a great week.
All right, later.
That's our guy, Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback, which you should subscribe to. It's free, SI.com.
The great Alex Brown will join us in 2 minutes to give his thoughts from his perch. How good was the defense yesterday for the Bears in that beatdown against New England? Still to come. And a half hour from now, we'll also hear from Ryan Poles, How about that? The general manager for the Bears. You'll hear from him and his thoughts about the state of the Bears. All part of our 9 o'clock hour in 2 minutes right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.